It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi there, Mary.
Just when we thought we couldn't enjoy a local tree-ripened peach, you're going to tell us that yes, we can.
Yes, we can grow peaches in Vermont. We are at the northern end of its range, but we can successfully do it. I know, because we've been growing peaches for years. It's most likely to be successful if you're in the Champlain Valley and the lower Connecticut River Valley, but I know people up in the hills, too, that are able to grow them, too, under the right conditions. If you can create a little microclimate, a south-facing building where you have protection from north and west winds on well-drained soil with a lot of sun, your peaches will probably do really well there. The first thing to think about if you're thinking of growing peaches is to get the right varieties. And the two that are probably the best for Vermont are Reliance and Contender. Reliance is the one from New Hampshire, very hardy, very tough, flowers pretty consistently every year. Contender has a better quality peach, but I think any peach that's tree ripened is good. But it's not as tough a tree in my experience as the Reliance would be. So getting one of each or getting at least two plants is usually a nice idea, even though they are self-fertile. It does help with the pollination. As I said, full sun, well-drained soil, and east-facing slope is nice. That way, the flower buds won't open too early in the spring. Once you get that plant from a nursery, you want to cut it way back, like by a half or a third of its height. And the reason to do that is so you can get some lower branches stimulating. And that creates a lower branch tree that's going to be easier to maintain and to harvest. Peaches are very vigorous growing plants, so don't worry about it not growing very fast. It's going to grow really quickly, and it sets it up to have that nice vase-shaped pruning that you want to do with your peaches, so the center is kind of hollowed out like a cup. That'll get more light in, so you get better quality peaches. After you've done that, you want to take off all the flowers, of course, that first year. You want to really stimulate root growth, and you want to watch out for a couple peach problems. One is peach leaf curl, where the leaves curl up in the summertime. You want to spray with a copper sulfate spray, probably in March or April, before the leaves come out. That'll take care of that. And you want to watch out for borers. These are insects that bore into the trunk and can eventually kill the tree. I've been experimenting with spraying clay, kaolin clay, all on the trunk and down below the trunk to try to get the borers from, stop the borers from laying eggs there. You can try other sprays too that would work like that, like horticultural oil. But the idea is to try to keep the tree healthy and try to keep those borers from taking over. If you do all that, you should get some peaches.
That's really exciting. I might try to plant some peach trees. Okay, we've got questions from our listeners, Charlie. This one's from Kimberly in North Middlesex. Kimberly writes, I've got a row of 6 rhubarb plants every year. I give each plant 6 to 8 inches of composted manure, sometimes more. But the plants simply seem to spread out to a carpet of small pencil-thick stalks, no thick ones. This had originally been 3 plants that I divided and made into 6 clumps about 3 years ago. How do I get thick stalks again?
Well, I'm kind of curious about this. I'm wondering if Kimberly has enough sun. That might be one of the possibilities. You know, rhubarb will do best, of course, in full sun. It does okay in part shade, too. But that might be one reason why it's kind of being floppy. The other is maybe she's putting on, I hate to say this, too much compost and manure. It's hard to believe with rhubarb, but if you get something, a plant that has a lot of nitrogen in it, that would cause that floppiness. So if she has really big leaves on her rhubarb plant, that might be an indication that she's got too much on there, and what she should do next year is just take a year off and see if that makes a difference.
Susan in Bennington writes in saying, I usually have beautiful poppies around now and blue false indigo, forming a big bunch of stems ready to flower. But now, no poppies, and the blue false indigo only has a few stems. I'm wondering if I left too much chop and drop material on the bed, or whether this year's weather has something to do with it?
Well, it might be the weather. I don't think it would be the chop and drop unless you left a real thick mat of material there. But for most people, you know, it's not that much material they're leaving on the soil over winter. The oriental poppies, I'm not surprised about. They can be a plant, especially if they're growing on a clay soil, where all of a sudden they just decide that's it, we're done, we're checking out, you know, even after a couple of years of nice flowering. I've had that happen in our garden. So that's not too much of a surprise. The Baptisia, or the blue false indigo, is more of a surprise because that's a really tough plant. Really deep taproot. It grows well in clay soil, sandy soil. Winter conditions don't seem to affect it. So I wouldn't give up on that one and let it come back. Maybe give it a little compost, clean out around it a little bit, and that one should bounce back. For the poppy, you might want to decide to get another one and try a different location in your yard.
Okay, if you have questions for Charlie, then send them to us. Just go to vpr.org, search for All Things Gardening, and send us your questions. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And next week, we'll be talking about beetles, not the ones from the musical group, but the ones in your garden. So send us your questions about the garden beetles you have, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.